Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 111 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And thank you to our new sponsor, The Smoke Sheet. It's a weekly newsletter that curates everything happening in the national barbecue scene. Every week, you'll get to read about new barbecue joints and closures across the country, event listings for the largest events in barbecue, podcast and book recommendations, and a very cool recipe of the week that you could actually make at your house. The Smoke Sheet was founded by Ryan Cooper, a.k.a. The Barbecue Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, founder of NYC Barbecue. You may remember I spoke to Ryan in a previous episode about his many barbecue travels, and that was so insightful. Ryan and Sean have been traveling for years, trying the best barbecue joints around the country and bringing their expertise to highlight what matters most for barbecue fans and industry veterans alike. Sign up now at barbecuenewsletter.com. That's BBQ newsletter.com, and follow The Smoke Sheet on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. I've been on board since day one, and I'm excited to be a partner with them. In this episode, I get a chance to talk to Dennis Roach from El Cucaracha Smokers in Saginaw, Texas, which is near Fort Worth. This one's really cool. Dennis is such a cool guy, and I've wanted to talk to him for a while. I followed him on Instagram, and then I found out he was making double 500s for Moosecraft Barbecue here in Los Angeles, which gave me more incentive. And I talked to Andrew and Michelle and Moosecraft, and they said how great a guy he was. And doing these interviews, I want to talk to people in all different facets of the barbecue, meat, and food world. And I definitely want to talk to people making smokers, big and small. And Dennis doesn't have a large operation. I interviewed him in November, and it's taken me a little while to get this together. It's now mid-February, and he is booked out till September. And then once he starts production, it takes him 3 to 4 weeks. It's a really interesting story. He grew up welding, doing that, and working on projects with his dad. But he didn't know that he was going to be going into the smoker and pit building business. So it's interesting to hear his path, and we go every step of the way. And I think you're going to really love that and just get some insight into what he's doing. And it kind of gives you an idea if you're interested in maybe going into welding or going into perhaps pit building. This would be a good avenue to listen to him and hear him. And I have other pit builders that I've interviewed that I'll be editing and putting online. So that way I'll give you a chance to see kind of what's out there. And perhaps if you're looking to buy a pit, this will help you out a little bit. If you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any of them. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with tons of more information with links to all my podcasts and YouTube stuff. But thanks so much. Enjoy. Well, good morning, Dennis. How you doing?
Good, good. Doing good.
What's a usual day for you?
Usually, you know, I get up and I, like I said, I take my kids to school in the morning, and then after that I come home and I get after it, you know.
Get after it, meaning welding?
Yeah, getting going on the pits.
Did you grow up, because you're right now, your business location is outside of Fort Worth, right?
Yeah, I'm in Saginaw, Texas.
Okay. Yeah. And did you grow up in Fort Worth or?
No, I grew up in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I grew up in Dallas, went to school. Grew up in Dallas, we moved out of Dallas and ended up moving to Irving, which is just a little sub-community of Dallas. So I grew up there most of my school years, went there.
Okay. Were you welding at school? Was that like a class that you took that you got into? Or?
Oh, it's my dad. Okay. My dad, he's an industrial mechanic, you know, and he's always been working on stuff ever since I was a little bitty kid. So, you know, he was always dragging me outside doing stuff with him.
Isn't that cool?
That's kind of how I got into it all.
I wonder if that's kind of gone away a little bit. I think, I don't know if every kid, if their dads are hands-on, like my dad was like that too. He could build almost anything.
Yeah, that's how he was, you know, and then even on the weekends when I'd be, I was a little kid trying to sleep, he'd come in and drag me out of bed, get outside, go help him do things, you know.
but it taught you a lot of great lessons, right?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah, that's
awesome. I wish I would have paid attention more. Oh. Now that I look back at it, I should have paid a lot more attention, you know.
Same with me. I've talked about that too with like electrical stuff. My dad could like do better than an electrician for a house, and I'd paid zero attention to it because I was so bad.
Exactly.
It's so bad. So then, but was he welding too?
Oh yeah, he was a welder. He's been, he's been a mechanic, an industrial mechanic for the last 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's been in it for a long time.
So when did you get the barbecue bug? Because I think I was reading it, and also too, I want to kind of get to the Daniel Vaughn Texas Monthly article because that was kind of cool. That was.
Yeah.
Okay, so when did you, were you always, like obviously growing up in Texas, you ate a lot of barbecue, I'd imagine.
Yeah. It was just, you know, it's just a regular thing to eat barbecue, you know. We'd eat it pretty often, but you know, I didn't really get involved, you know, get into it till we bought our first house, like in 2014, okay. Beginning of 2014. That's when I really got involved in it. You know, I started wanting to cook brisket, you know, cook barbecue myself. So, you know, I messed up a few, you know, probably 6 or 7 briskets before I kind of had an idea of what I was doing, you know. From there, you know, it was just on a little bitty. At the time, I bought one of those little Traeger pellet grills.
Okay.
I had a little Traeger pellet grill, and I was cooking on that. So then I was like, man, this isn't right. Like, I need a real offset cooker, mm-hmm. you know. So I started getting involved looking at that, and I started looking at, you know, different barbecue restaurants, what they were doing.
And I was going to ask, were you, like, kind of spying what they were doing, like, just noticing that this is how they do it?
Yeah, I was noticing everybody's cooking on these offsets. So I'm like, that's what I need. I need the right cooker. If I'm going to cook the right brisket, I need the right cooker.
Nice, okay.
So that was my whole thing. And then I went to the first place that I actually went to that, you know, that was, well, no, it was Franklin's. I went to Franklin's first. My first stop was Franklin's. And then once I was there, I was hooked on it. You know, I was like, no, this is real barbecue. There's other barbecue places I've been eating at. They're, you know, they're like a chain.
No, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't know no better.
Yeah. Well, I don't, and most people don't. And I think a lot of people too, it's that visit for maybe South by Southwest and they go to Franklin and they're like, okay, now I kind of get it. I understand. Yeah. Did you wait in the line? Was it a big line that time?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wait, I got there. My first time I went, I think I got there like around 6:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And I was probably like 13th in line. So, you know, and then it's 4-hour wait, you know, it's waiting on brisket.
Brisket, sauce, it's so...
Oh, yeah, I got a tray. I spent like $120 on a tray. Barbecue, you know. You only get eat a little bit of it, but you take the rest home, you know.
Yeah, because a lot of people go together, too. I wonder what the average ticket is for Franklin. I bet it's like easily over 100.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know. They go through the line. You know, they ask you, you know, how much barbecue you think you're going to get? So, they try to cut the line off at a certain time because they know it's going to sell out, but they just want to... They don't want people waiting out there and not going to get nothing.
Yeah, I know. That's because how sad is that?
Yeah, that sucks.
You'll wait 5 hours for zero food. At least that's, yeah, that is a nice thing. And I think, don't they say that, like, if they do the cutoff, for people that are listening that haven't been there, there's still a potential those people behind might get it, but chances are you won't, right? Isn't that
true? Yeah. Because some people, they change their mind on what they want once they get up there, you know, they might not get as much as they were planning, what they initially said. So, you know, there could be a chance for more barbecue.
Yeah, that's true. So then after you had that, did you go home and say, I'm going to do make a 250 gallon? Or?
I started researching them because, you know, I was like, I was going to buy one, you know, from somebody who manufactured them. I was going to look for somebody and buy one, but I was like, you know what? I can build this myself. And I know what I'm capable of doing, you know, so I know it's going to be a nice cooker.
And how did that turn out?
It turned out good. I built a 250.
Okay.
250 was my first one I built. You know, I had it for a while, and then I ended up changing my mind. I was like, I want something bigger because the 250, like, I cooked for like my daughter's birthday and like other family events. And next thing you know, like, I was like, I need more room. This isn't enough room. I need something bigger.
Yeah.
So then I went ahead and that's when I got rid of that one. And then I built a 500 gallon for myself.
Now, this is, and maybe this is a trade secret, but I think no one ever talks about where are people getting these propane tanks? Are they just old ones that were like?
Yeah, they're just, you know, like some people, like a lot of places down here, like they're on a lot of the houses, they used to have propane tanks outside, you know, they ran off.
Like, were they buried? Is that how they were? Or they were?
No, they're above ground.
Above ground, okay.
Yeah, they're above ground. And some people, they buy a property and those old tanks just sitting on a property and they want it gone. Huh. Like, they don't need it anymore. They want it gone, you know? So there's that. And then some people, they eventually convert their house to the electrical, so they don't need the propane no more.
Yeah.
So then they do away with the tanks that way. But a lot of times, like when I was finding tanks, I was hunting for tanks. It was mostly like hunting on Craigslist.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Craigslist probably? Is that?
Yeah, sites like that, you know, just trying to hunt tanks down. And then, after that, I started going to propane companies.
Because they have like old ones that they don't use anymore?
Because, you know, you figure they're going to get new ones. They have new ones there. But, you know, they're going to get old ones that people are going to upgrade from or whatever. And they probably say they'll dispose of them. You know, so then they take them back to the yard. And then you get them at a a better price, you know.
These propane companies, are they making, they're making these from scratch, or are they getting them from something too and refurbishing them?
Yeah, they make them from scratch. They make them brand new.
Okay.
No, they make them brand new.
And here's another, like maybe a stupid, another stupid question. Do you ever, do people ever get propane tanks that are like flawed, and then so you have to repair them within what the process of making the smoker?
No, not really. I mean, the tanks that they're getting rid of, these companies are getting rid of, that they're saying no good. They'll have like a pinhole or something in them where they, you know, they can't hold propane in them.
Gotcha.
Or it's something where they can't fix. You know, if it's a valve or something like that, they don't want to mess with it. They just scrap them.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's perfect for us because, you know, we're making smokers out of them. We don't need them to
hold propane.
Yeah. We just need them to hold heat.
Yeah, exactly. Retain the heat. You made the 500, and did you like what you made? And like, and were you asking people questions like other people that made these, or were you researching more online? Because like the Firebox and all that.
Yeah, it was just a, you know, I really like the offset. You know, I like the simplicity of it. I don't like the all the tuning plates and all the other stuff. Like, I don't think you need that stuff.
Okay.
You know, so just a simple offset smoker. You know, keep it simple. You know, and it's, they work great. They flow, airflow real good through them. You know. Like these big smokers, you need a big firebox and a big stack. That's all you really are. You need them, you know.
But there are ways to tweak the airflow, right? That isn't that sort of.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, usually, you know, you got your firebox. You know, it's a good size firebox, good size stack. I mean, you control your heat with the door, or you control your heat with the dampener on top of the stack. Yeah. So most of the time, I just control with the door. But like when I was going through the whole process of making it, like my first one, it's just trial and error, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd cut the fire, the exchange out a little bit bigger as I went, you know, I'd cook on it for a while, see how it cooked. I liked the way it cooked. And I was like, well, let me try a little bit more, you know, and I'll go back and cut more of the exchange out. You know, it's just little stuff like that.
And doing that at the beginning, you weren't thinking about selling them.
No. It was just for me. It was personal use for me, you know, and I had got, you know, friends of mine, they were like, hey man, you should start building them and selling them. And I'm like, nah, I'm too lazy for that. I don't want to do that. You know, cause I work a full-time job. You know, I was working for Owens Corning.
Okay.
A roofing manufacturer. You know, I worked there for 10 years.
Gotcha.
I was an industrial mechanic and welder there. You know, welder and fabricator. I did a lot of pipe work and anything they needed done there, I did all that. I was full-time there. You know, that's a 7-day, 24 hours, you know, 24-hour a day operation.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm working 6 days, you know, 6 or 7 days straight sometimes, you know, so I was like, I don't have any time to build these, you know. I got one for me, and I cook when I'm off, and then that's it, you know. That's how it kind of started, you know, and then I got to where I was just not happy there anymore, you know. I've been there for so long and just wasn't happy there, wasn't happy what I was doing, and so I just was thought, you know, this was a plan devised between me and my wife. She's like, well, why don't you do it? Why don't you go ahead and start building smokers? You know, and I was just, for a while, I was like, I don't know. I don't want to take that jump. You know, I was kind of scared to take the leap into doing it, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, but eventually I got fed up with my job enough to where I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start building these.
Who did you make your first, and El Cucaracha, is that like a nickname you've had before or something? Or?
Well, you know, my last name is Roach.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, it is Roach.
Yeah, my last name is Rose, so that's where that comes from.
Oh, that's S, yeah. Okay, I should have known that.
That's what Daniel Vaughn, when he came over, he did the same thing. He's like, where'd the name come? He's like, oh, you know, okay, I get it. Yeah, your last name is Roach.
Okay, I won't make that mistake. But actually, now people can find you for sure. Dennis Roach.
Yeah, exactly.
So who was the first person you made one for?
The first person I made one for, well, I made that 500. Okay. And then my plan was, you know, to go ahead and start selling them. So I built that one, and then I was going to start selling them to buy, you know, tools and things I need here to start building them.
Yeah.
So then I put that one up for sale, and Joe Zavala ended up buying that one.
Gotcha. Zavala's Barbecue.
Yeah, Zavala's Barbecue. They bought that 500 gallon. So they bought my first one. And then after that, you know, I started advertising more. I mean, all my advertising only ever been on Instagram. You know, it's always just been Instagram. And then I had a guy from West Virginia contact me and wanted me to build a pit. He's starting a barbecue restaurant up there in West Virginia,
okay.
Wheeling, West Virginia. I built him a 500 on a trailer. And then after that one, you know, I posted a bunch of stuff about it, a bunch of pictures and stuff like that about it. And then the next thing you know, I started getting more people interested in it. So then, you know, after that, it just kept going, you know. So right now, I'm I'm booked through May of next year.
Wow. Okay, I was going to ask you how far out. That is pretty incredible, don't you think? Like, would you ever have thought that you?
No, I never thought that it would come to that. You know, I mean, it's pretty amazing. You know, it's great that people, you know, they love these pits enough, you know, to go ahead and order, and you know, they want me to build it for them. You know.
Here's a quick question: what do your neighbors think?
I don't know. I don't really. That's the thing. Like, our neighbors, we've lived here for 5 years, and I've only had contact with one neighbor, like the guy across the street. He's okay. Cool. He cooks barbecue, but he's always outside cooking, you know, in the front. But the neighbors on both sides of me, I don't know. They don't really talk to me. So maybe that's why they don't talk to me. I don't know.
Probably not. But it's you do them in your garage, or do you do them in
I build out of my garage right now. Like, I want to stay here in my house, building them as long as I can. Just, you know, for the reason of cost. You know, it keeps the cost down for the customer. It keeps the cost down for me.
For sure.
Yeah, you know, so that's the whole reason behind me being here right now. Like, I'll stay here as long as I can until I start getting complaints. And then I'm going to be, okay, I got to go somewhere else. Yeah. But it's kind of, you know, it's good. And at the same time, it's kind of a pain. It's kind of a pain just for the simple fact that I can't just keep a whole bunch of tanks stored out here. And I have nowhere for storage but keep like two at a time on a trailer.
Gotcha. Okay, I was going to ask. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I keep a couple on the side of my house because I have a side of my house where my fence opens up where I can back up in there. Uh-huh. I'll keep the fireboxes right there because those are easier to get to. They're the smaller tanks than the big ones. So the big ones, I leave them on the trailer until I'm ready to work on them, and then I put them in the garage.
Do you just put them? Do you have a trailer that you use to pick those up? Is that?
Yeah. I got a trailer. I put them on a trailer, and I got a gantry crane in my garage to lift them off the trailer. That's what I use everything to move them around with. And once they're in the garage, I got a crane in the garage.
Okay, I was going to ask that too, because how would you get those from like onto your trailer too? Like, these feel like stupid questions, but like it's something I would never have known. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a gantry crane, and it's wide enough for me to pull my trailer in between. So I back the trailer up in between them, you know, and then I pick them up with the crane, and then I pull the trailer out. And then set them up how I want to, you know, set them up where I want to set them and start working on them.
Would you say this job, like, there's danger involved in this too? Because it's like you're using fire, you're moving really heavy things, and there's sharp. Yeah. Like, is that something that have you ever hurt yourself doing this?
No, I have. Luckily, no, not yet.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't done it. You know, I haven't hurt myself yet doing it. It's just.
But you know what you're doing.
It all kinds of come with the territory, you know, even from being where I used to work at, and I was, you know, fabricator and everything there, you know, it's just a lot of heavy metal.
Mm-hmm. Having to be super safe, and that's like that.
Yeah. Yeah, just got to be safe doing it.
Wow. Here's a quick jump back. Someone had mentioned to me like a year ago, they fabricate smokers out here. They were saying that welding is a great career for people. It's like for people that might not quite, like if you're leaving college or you're just maybe going to enter college and you don't know what you want to do, someone said welding is a really good idea. Do you recommend welding as a career? Or I know you were saying Owens Corning was something that at the end you didn't like.
Yeah, it just... Welding, I mean, it is a good career. You know, you got to have to, like, I love welding.
Yeah.
You know, I can weld all day. You know, I have no problem with it. But as far as career-wise, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of money to be made in welding, you know.
You just have to work hard.
You can be, you know, a pipeline welder, or if you're going into fabricating, you know, building race car chassis, stuff like that, you know, just, it all depends, you know, kind of what you're into, you know.
But it is, but it's something that if you're, and it also it uses a little artistic, like you have to use, you have to think about things in a different way.
Yeah. Wow. It's fun. It's fun building stuff. Like, I love messing with metal. So like this isn't even work to me. You know, this is fun. I love doing this. So.
So the best way that people get a hold of you is through Instagram, like direct message, or through your website?
Yeah. I mean, either or, like the emails we get through the website. My wife, she answers all that stuff. Okay. You know, she takes care of that part of it for me. You know, she's more computer savvy than I am, so she takes care of all that part for me. She does the social media stuff. She takes care of that too. Like, now we have a page on Facebook. She takes care of all that. So
yeah, she does a great job. It's definitely
She's like the website. She made the website.
Oh, awesome.
She made our logo. She made the logo.
Oh, cool.
So all credit for that stuff goes to her. You know, I'm nice. Just a knucklehead welding. You know. Making smokers, that's all I'm doing.
So like how, like today, like would you, do you have like, how long, how many hours would you be welding? Or how many hours can you physically weld before it becomes not?
Actually, usually, I get out there probably about 8 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
By 8 in the morning, I'm out there, and I'm out there all day. You know, I'm out there till sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning. It just depends, you know. I don't do anything like after a certain hour, like because I don't want to make a whole bunch of noise out there. Yeah. The neighbors, you know. So if I'm out there till 2 a.m, it's stuff. It's work that I can do without making too much noise. But other than that, like, you know, I get out there about 8. I come in and probably, you know, we eat lunch around 12, and then I go back out there, and then I'm out there till, like I said, till I feel like coming inside.
Do you have headphones on while you're doing this?
No, you know, I got an iPod with a little Bluetooth speaker out there. That's what I, you know, keeps me going.
So what can people order? Like, just, I know you're booked till May, but if people want to know like what you're offering, like anything from 250 to 1,000? Is that something that?
Yeah. 250 to 1,000.
Okay.
250 to 1,000. And then I'm going to be introducing a backyard smoker, because I get a lot of inquiries about, you know, smaller smokers, you know, because everybody wants smaller smokers. And so that's going to be something I'm going to be doing in the future. It's just like right now, I'm just booked with all these big, you know, these big smokers. I got mostly 500 gallons on trailers, and then a couple 500 gallons cookers on skids, some 250s on skids, and I got 2 1,000s right now. I got to build in December, I'm building a 1,000 gallon for Zavala's.
Oh, you're doing another?
Yeah, another 1,000 for them. And then, like, right now, I'm working on a double 500 for Moose Craft.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask about Moose Craft. Yeah. Because I'm friends with Andrew and Michelle. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm working on their rig right now.
So it's a double 500 on a trailer?
Yeah, on a trailer. I'm excited about it. That's the first double 500 I've done.
And it's for Moose Craft Barbecue in Los Angeles, which is...
Yeah, for Moose Craft in Los Angeles. You know, I followed Andrew, like, from when I had my first 250.
Really?
Like, we kind of followed each other and talked back and forth. He was asking questions about it, you know, so it's been cool to see them grow to what they've become now. Like, you know,
I remember going to their backyard and, like, this, like, kind of their early style, and it was, like a small operation, and now they have, like, the almost Franklin style lines.
It's
so crazy. Yeah. And they're like two of the best people on the planet. So it's kind of,
it really is.
And that's really, and they're very excited when they told me about you. Number one, they, like Andrew a million times said, you gotta talk to Dennis, that he's just an awesome guy and he's doing great stuff. And then when they told me about the 2 500s, they're super excited about bringing that to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's cool. So that'll be pretty soon, right? Like, if this is the date, we're in November 2nd, so pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it'll probably be like another week or so.
Okay.
It'll be ready for them to pick up, like, another week.
And then they'll drive it.
Yeah, they'll drive it from here back to California.
Nice. Are there any other ones that you could mention, or are they all kind of secrets?
No. They're all, I mean, I got them lined up. I got a lot of guys, like, they're just like, they're starting out like a barbecue, like catering businesses, stuff like that. So, I mean, like West Virginia, the first one I did went to West Virginia, and I took that one to West Virginia myself. Like, I was like, I'm never doing that again. This went too far.
How long did that take?
I drove it out there. Me and my brother-in-law drove it out there. You know, we drove it straight there and we drove straight back. So it was a crazy trip. It was those guys. And then, a couple other guys, like another guy in Austin, he's doing like catering gigs too.
Okay.
And then after him, it was another guy in South Texas. A couple guys in Arizona, like I got Moose Craft, Zavala's, and then like Dane. I just built one for, I don't know if you follow Dane's Underground Barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just built him a pit too. So, I mean, they're all over the place. Like I got an order for one in Canada.
Really?
That's coming up. Yeah, at the beginning of the year.
Wow.
So yeah, it's going to Alberta, Canada.
Is that for, is it like an underground place or is it?
It's for a brewery.
Oh.
Brewery. I think it's Patty's Brewery.
Huh. So they want to be able to serve some barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they do barbecue now, but they, you know, they're looking for another rig, and it's going to, you know, they're getting a 500 gallon on a trailer.
How long does it usually take you to fabricate?
It usually takes about 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
About 3 to 4 weeks, you know, depending on it, like, a 250, it's a little less time, but like even on skids, it's a less time. You know, the trailers, you know, I build the trailers from the ground up myself too. So it's a custom built trailer.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I build the smokers and then I set the smokers aside. Then I build the trailer and then I mount the smokers on the trailer.
And you're doing this all yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I do it myself. Occasionally, my dad, he had like the first two I built, he came over and helped me, you know, a little bit. But ever since then, he's been a no-show. So it's been just me doing it out there by myself, you know.
Do you get a chance to go eat barbecue now, or is it kind of you're so busy?
Yeah, well, the thing, like, here locally, you know, I'll eat locally. Like, I'll eat Zavala's. You know, I eat Zavala's or, like, Panther City. They're close to me. I hit Panther City up. You know, they're real good. They're a good group of guys, and their food
I've heard
good.
Great things about Panther City, yeah.
So, you know, I'll go there because they're the closest to me,
okay.
Panther City. But whenever I deliver pits down south, you know, of course I got to stop somewhere, eat barbecue. And I usually stop in Austin somewhere and eat, you know, at a local place in Austin. I mean, as far as that, like cooking, I haven't been able to cook anything in Austin just because I've been so busy.
But you can get donuts with your kids, though, right?
I got to get donuts with the kids.
Did you kind of blow up when the article came out with Daniel Vaughn and Texas Monthly? What was your Instagram feed like that? Was that crazy?
Yeah, it got kind of crazy there for a minute. I got a bunch of inquiries and I was like, oh man, it's fixing to really, you know, take off to where I'm going to have to move out of the garage. I'm going to go get a shop ASAP, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a lot of inquiries, a lot of people wanting, you know, prices on pits and whatnot. And then, like, of course, I got a bunch of followers from that too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was kind of cool how it came to be. Like, I was just, you know, one day Daniel Vaughn, he just started following on Instagram. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, Daniel Vaughn's following me. It's pretty awesome. And then next thing you know, he messaged me. He's like, I want to come talk to you. I was like, oh.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. So then, you know, we set that up. And yeah, he came and talked to me. And I had, like, I talked to Matt and Caleb, the guys from MillScale.
Mm-hmm.
They build smokers down there in Lockhart.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are really cool, you know, and I talked to them and Matt was telling me that Daniel's doing an article on pit builders.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's awesome. So, then I had a general idea of what he wanted to come over and talk about, you know, so.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was a cool experience. You know, I've never done any kind of interviews or anything. So, I mean.
Even probably this is like going from Owens Corning to talking to me, a guy in California, about what you do.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
But it's interesting. It's really, I love barbecue and you do too. And it's, I think, and people are probably interested in how, and especially too, like you're just like in the early stages of what is going to be a long career for you. So that's, I was excited to talk to you now because someday you won't be able to, you won't have time to talk to me at all.
Yeah. It's been a fun ride this whole time, you know, and everybody in barbecue, you know, everybody's really nice. They're great people, you know, so.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, it's a good crowd to be around.
Oh yeah. I think it's the best. I really like it. They're so supportive and so like this.
Yeah.
And the barbecue these days is not that it wasn't always great, but it's spectacular. There's so many choices.
Yeah. Yep.
So many people.
There's so many choices for barbecue. And then here in Fort Worth, like it's starting to, you know, get more traction. You know, you like Panther City and then like Zavala's are opening up in Grand Prairie.
Yeah.
Like all these good places are popping up everywhere, you know.
Yeah, that's so great to have all these options and to always like it's hard. It really makes me angry because Los Angeles doesn't have a lot of options. It just, and I'm living here talking to you guys and it's like, oh gosh.
Yeah, like you know, Cadillacs is right here in Dallas. Like I can go to Cadillacs anytime, you know. Hey,
yeah. Thanks. Now you're rubbing it.
Thursday and Fridays, but
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Pecan Lodge, I mean all these places they're close, you know, so it's good to have options close.
It is. And you have a lot of the old school places too. Like we just don't like it. And it's all that specific Texas style, which a lot of us love. And that's really, really cool. Well, Dennis, thank you so much for taking the time. And I appreciate what you're doing. I'm excited to see Moo's pits when they come out. It'll be 2-3 weeks. And that's awesome to see.
I said, you'll be able to go out there and check them out in person.
Without doubt. Photograph them. And they're green, right?
No, they wanted green tanks. And I was looking for green tanks.
Okay.
And like the company that I went to go pick them up at, I told them, I was like, I need green tanks. And they're like, well, we can give you whatever we can reach. Because, you know, they got rows and rows of tanks, this place that I went to.
Yeah.
And there's another place. My wife found this place. I didn't even find it. She found it. And, you know, there's just mountains of tanks out there.
Wow.
And I wanted green tanks. And they're like, well, we can only get what we can reach. You know, so if you can find them, okay. So I didn't find any. They were in good shape, you know. So then Andrew's like, okay, well, if we can't find green, let's go white. So then I found white ones. So they're white.
Oh, nice. So that's cool, too.
Yeah.
It's going to help their capacity. It's going to, like, having two 500s is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. Two 500s, and, you know, and these things are fully insulated. You know, I know the weather's nice out in California, but it really helps no matter what the weather's like. It helps having insulated fireboxes.
And that's, and why is that important?
Just for fuel consumption, mm-hmm. the amount of wood you burn, you know, the longer you get out of a stick, you know, a split of wood, you know, it helps you rest more, helps the, whoever's cooking on them, they, you know, they get a little bit more rest in between, you know.
For sure.
Go out there and stoke your fire.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just, these things cook great, man. I mean, these 500 gallons, they're Cadillacs. Like, anybody that's got them, they love them, you know. Wow. Like, I built, like, Zavala's, they love their 500. Dane loves his, Roy, and this other, you know, these other guys I've sold them to, they love these pits. So it's really, it's great to see that these guys are getting these tank, you know, these smokers, and, you know, they love them, and they're providing food for everybody. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's.
Yeah. How great is that too? Like, you're getting things that have been discarded at a propane yard or wherever, and now you're turning that into something that'll cook food, that'll nourish people and make people fall in love with barbecue too. That's great.
Yep. Yeah, it's great.
I never thought of it exactly that way, but that's a cool little cycle.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, cool. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for taking the time. And I'll look forward to, like, hopefully I can get a chance to visit you too when I'm in Texas.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Come by,
yeah.
Maybe go, maybe meet up, get some barbecue somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't want to take you away from too much of your welly, but it'd be cool. All right, cool. Well, enjoy your day. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks so much. All right.